29 after, it's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year on this fifth day of 2021. Glenn's got a fresh story corner that's coming up in a little while. Later on this morning, Father Rocky is here to celebrate two great American saints that we're celebrating this week. But right now, 5 days into the new year, how you doing with those New Year's resolutions? And it's so easy to fall off the wagon. Yesterday, I was telling you about one of my spiritual New Year's resolutions, and that's to physically get in front of the Eucharist every single day, even if it's for 5 or 10 minutes. Now, Glenn and I both try to go to Mass on a daily basis, but sometimes work gets in the way, and work gets in the way based on also, you know, schedules of when Masses happen where we live. And so yesterday was one of those days where work was getting in the way, but I wanted to spend some time in front of the Eucharist and to show you how easy it is to fall off the wagon. You start making excuses just like that. It's like, well, God understands that I'm working right now. And, you know, it's like Wheel of Fortune. I'll put the time on account for tomorrow. And I said, no, wait, stop. There's nothing that's more important right now. So just put everything on hold, got in the automobile, drove down the street, spent about 10 or 15 minutes just in conversation. So New Year's resolutions, how do we set them realistically? Because 180 million of us are going to do this, and it's mostly going to be, you know, the lose weight, I want to exercise, I want to do something more, and that's good. But only about 8% of us keep them. So maybe we need to step back, ask for the intercession of the Holy Spirit to make this a more realistic 2021. And we're going to work on that now together here at 29 Before on Morning Air with Laura DeMaria, who's a member of our morning family on Morning Air. She's a nonprofit management professional and writer living in Metro Washington, D.C., and a revert to the faith. You got to check out her website where she writes on topics including spiritual study, prayer, living the Catholic faith in daily life online at lauradimaria.com. Laura, good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Great to be with you as always.
Did you hear how easy it is to fall off the wagon? Because you make those excuses instantly. And, you know, there's the evil one saying, ah, no, you're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. God understands you're working. Come on. That's okay. And it's like, well, wait a minute. There's nothing that important that I can have some quiet time with him. But it is pretty easy. Again, we see 180 million of us making resolutions, only 8% of us keeping those resolutions. So how do we start being a little more realistic to approach some of the goals that we want for the new year?
That's an amazing statistic that only 8% of people stick to resolutions. And I think part of that is because we set unreachable goals or we set perfectionism as our goal. And I really like the example that you gave our listeners of deciding, I'm going to go right now and go spend time with the Lord. You didn't wait until your mind was calm. You didn't wait until you didn't have anything else to think about in terms of it's got to be like the perfect moment when I am going to go and achieve my goal. I think instead, thinking of our goals in smaller parts and knowing that we don't have to achieve everything all in one day certainly is going to be a way to help with setting those goals, and particularly spiritual goals, because losing weight and having a closer relationship with God are two very, very different things. And there's probably some similarities in terms of how you can get there. But I think anything in the spiritual life, it's going to take time, you know. And if we're thinking about this in terms of New Year's resolution, you've got a whole year ahead of you. So map it out, you know, and don't think of it in terms of I've got to reach perfection on day one. And if I don't, well, I'm going to join the 90-something percent of people who decided the same.
And put yourself smack in the middle of the story of the Epiphany. And that's what we've been doing. We've been very Ignatian about living the message of Christmas. Put yourself in the shoes of the Holy Family, in this year of the Holy Family, in this year of St. Joseph, in terms of setting resolutions. What did they do? Take a look at their witness. That's a great not only benchmark for making resolutions, but really foundation for just getting us through the day.
Yeah, I think in terms of thinking about the Holy Family, and particularly St. Joseph, who I know we'll be talking a lot about this year, given that it's the year of St. Joseph, his witness and his figure within the Bible is so interesting because he doesn't have any dialogue, he doesn't speak, we don't know much about him other than what's told to us, that he was just, and we can sort of judge him based on his actions and what we know of him. But he was faithful to God. And if we're thinking about in terms of the idea of goals and achieving something, reaching something, I would say he took it one day at a time. You know, I mean, sometimes it was a matter of, oh, we got to change our plans because an angel came to me in a dream. And his ability to stay faithful to God and to stay faithful to the path that God had in mind for him, I think is very much something worth emulating just in general. But if you're looking for a figure to help you think about how to parse out your goals, taking it one day at a time, listening to the Holy Spirit, as you suggested, John, and having faith in your walk with God.
Laura, you hit on a key phrase as we talk about a more realistic 2021, and that's taking it a day at a time. And it's probably what St. Joseph meditated on in his life, especially as they were fleeing to Egypt. So how do we take one day at a time and make it more than just a saying we see on a bumper sticker and something that we could actually live as perhaps St. Joseph lived?
Right. I think the first thing is to get clarity about what your goals are. So I can't, you know, mentor or advise you about how to lose 20 pounds or how to use up all your airline miles this year or something like that. But I think we can think here about how to set spiritual goals in an attainable way. And as we've discussed, doing it, taking it day by day, a little bit at a time. And I think there's a lot of really concrete things that you can do and that you really can map out for the whole year. So if you're thinking about this in terms of, all right, I know what my financial goals are for this year. I know what my travel goals are for this year, or whatever those kind of non-spiritual goals are. And you're trying to think, all right, what am I going to do to get closer to God this year to deepen my relationship, my friendship with Jesus? And so it could be as simple as having a closer look into the Bible. And so I learned a couple of days ago, Father Mike Schmitz, who everyone knows and loves, very well known. So you guys may have heard, he has a new podcast. Apparently it's the number one podcast in the country over everything, which is incredible, but it's called The Bible in a Year. And so every single day this year, they release a new episode. And it isn't literally reading the Bible, but it's going into, you get a little bit of scripture and you get a little bit of discussion. So that's easy. You don't even have to map it out for yourself. You've already got the map. You just, you know, turn on your phone, turn on your iPad each day and listen to that. So the first step is really to think about what is it that I'm trying to achieve, and then how can I find the materials or the resources or kind of the plan to get me there by the end of the year.
Take it one step at a time. Again, that one step at a time is one of the keys to keeping those New Year's resolutions. Remember praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet and making that a part of my daily prayer life. And then the Holy Spirit was saying, you need to get the rosary in every single day. And it's like, well, bro, come on. You think I have 18 minutes, Holy Spirit, to spare to do a rosary? Come on, don't you see what I'm doing here? You know, you have that initial reaction. And then by just surrendering that time over to the Holy Spirit, it has just become like breathing to the point that I was telling the story yesterday. My pug puppy is conditioned to the voice of Father Rocky on the Relevant Radio app because that's how I pray the rosary. And he'll come and remind me he'll come and remind me that you have not prayed the rosary because I walk around the house, he plays with toys. So that's the rosary routine in our house. But the Holy Spirit works in unusual ways through a pug puppy. But the pug puppy has helped me keep that commitment of praying the rosary every day.
That seems like a very smart and holy puppy you have there.
I've got a Catholic dog.
I love that. That's really nice. And prayer, I think, I mean, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I don't know, and the rosary seems hard, or I just don't know where to start with prayer. So certainly I 100% always will recommend pray the rosary every day. And if you need something like that to remind you when to do it, great. If you need to figure out what time of day is best for you, morning is good for some people, before bed is good for some other people, during your daily walk, during your daily drive to wherever, or even breaking it up over, you know, this taking the decades throughout the day. But then there's other ways to incorporate prayer too. And why not just say, okay, every day I'm going to pray for 5 minutes and that's it. Or I am going to adopt a prayer to be my theme and to be with me throughout this year. So whether that's saying the Our Father or the Memorare or some other prayer, the prayer of St. Francis, when you're in a moment of distress or when you just want to kind of get centered in your day. So that's a different thing from your previous year. It's not moving mountains necessarily, but it's incorporating a new thing just to be able to say the Our Father and to lean on that prayer. And then you don't also know what graces will come from that too. So going back to that idea of what can we do to make our goals manageable, remember that the fruit of what you're doing is not going to be immediately apparent, but also it doesn't have to be this big flashy thing. that we sort of associate with more secular, non-religious goals, like losing a huge amount of weight. I mean, these little interior changes in your spiritual life can be prompted by something as simple as saying the Memorare every day, or saying the Angelus the three times during the day that we're supposed to, which I think is what, 6:30 in the morning and noon and maybe 6 in the evening. Mm-hmm. But taking on these traditional prayers of our faith rather than, well, I'll pray them, you know, because we're at church right now, or the one time during the day I pray is when I pray before I eat my meal or something like that. Incorporate a prayer into your life. Like, just make it a natural part of, you know, as easy as breathing in and out or waking up or going to sleep. And I think that even though that's not a big heroic outward thing and other people might not even know you're doing it, you will feel interiorly a spiritual change.
I think John is just a huge fan of Saint Francis. The man has Catholic animals.
You know, I've got a picture of the dog praying, and if you don't believe me, I'll put it up on the Morning Air Facebook
Please
page.
Do.
I'm not making this up.
I want to see that.
I'm putting it up right now.
Is this dog's name Saint Bernard or Saint
it's
Francis?
Morgan. It's Morgan.
Okay.
It's Morgan.
Well, we give up. We can't do better than that one, Laura. Say, I was thinking psychologically in terms of New Year's resolutions, we kind of expect for ourselves perfection out of the gate on day one. Is it almost psychologically more healthy to look at having, you know, building up good habits over time? They say it takes 19 mm-hmm. or 21 days to develop a habit. And so maybe quarterly we reach benchmarks or something like that. So a year from now, we're not looking back and saying, wow, I made it all the way to January 6th. Oh, I made it to January 12th. But, you know, we can say I did most of what I wanted to do by the end of the year, not by the first week,
right.
The end of the first week.
Right. And at the same time, celebrating those milestones, if it's helpful, go for it. You know, if I incorporate something in my life and I keep it up for a week, and then I can say to myself, great job, I did it for a week, and then continue on to the next week and continue on to the next week. You know, there's no shame in celebrating those small victories too, because they'll get you to the end so that you can say in December, you know, it was great back on January 12th that I did this, you know, so many times, but it's even better that it helped bring me through to the end. And I also, when it comes to goals, we are thinking about this in terms of New Year's resolutions. So we're thinking about this year in particular, 2021. But if something is great and becomes a part of your life in terms of it becoming a habit, like you're saying, you know, the December 2021, that's not the end of it. So if we, for example, listen to the Bible in the Year, Father Mike Schmidt's podcast for this whole year, and then, you know, that's it. That's the end of it for the year. Why not continue that in some other form? Why not download a different app or, you know, basically take that practice, that habit, or that interior change that you're experiencing further into your life. In other words, we don't have to get to the end of the year, celebrate the victory and say, well, that was fun. You know, the whole purpose of this is to really make lasting, lifelong change. And, you know, it makes me think about how all of the spiritual life is this long walk, you know, towards holiness and towards God. And we don't ever reach a plateau, and we aren't going to reach any kind of level of perfection just because we did something really holy this year. There's always room and time and a need. And I think God puts a desire in our heart to grow in holiness and to grow closer to Him.
Because
so even when the year ends, you know, there's still more to be done.
Right. These New Year's resolutions that we're talking about and keeping these resolutions, Laura, is not to just check something off the list, but as mm-hmm. you've mentioned, and Cardinal Supich was mentioning this in his homily at Holy Name Cathedral over the weekend, that our faith lives are a journey. It's a conversion. And that's what we're talking about here with New Year's resolutions, this conversion, not to say, okay, I met that goal, but really to deepen our romance with Jesus.
Right. And to that point, too, everyone is so excited to have 2020 in the rearview mirror, even though, you know, we all know from a logical perspective, not much is different today from 2 weeks ago. But nonetheless, we're all glad to let that year go. However, I think there could be some good things that came from last year that will help us move on from it. And so what I mean by that is, if we're thinking in terms of resolutions and new habits, this is also a great time to think about, well, what was good from last year that I can continue to take into this year? For example, right. A lot of people were able to spend more time with their families. They instituted nightly family dinners or had more time for quiet contemplative prayer or just had more stillness in their lives. So that isn't necessarily a resolution, but it's a way to see a connection between the previous year that was And now here we are in a new year and looking for ways to continue to grow. And it's possible that there are things from last year that you can bring into this year even too.
And we are hopeful that the Holy Spirit is at work in this conversation to give you some strength to keep New Year's resolutions, spiritual and otherwise. Laura DeMaria is a nonprofit management professional and writer in Metro Washington, D.C., writes a great deal about Catholic faith and a member of our Morning Family online at lauradeMaria.com. Laura, thank you. God bless.
Thank you both.